Welcome to the Alternating Current Podcast, the podcast where we bring light to careers in the electrical industry and break down those stigmas around working in the skilled trades. I'm your host, Liz Campbell, Director of Chapter Development for the Atlanta Electrical Contractors Association. We are so excited. Today is our first episode of the podcast. Our guest today is none other than Andy Bowman from Englet & Stubbs. So we're going to be talking about the history of the association and why our members are part of AECA. So welcome, Andy. We're so happy you're here. I know this has been a long time coming that we've been talking about doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself for the people at home who are not familiar with Andy Bowman?
I started out as, after I got out of high school, I did go to college in the evenings, and I started as a B member at Square D. And I worked in the manufacturing for almost 3 years. As I worked there, I became a B member in the IBEW, and I noticed a school. And so when I saw this school, I started inquiring about how do you get into this school. And so my steward and some other people helped me get into that school. So that's how I got into the electrical apprenticeship and became an A member. And it, for me, the training that I got while working was a lot more conducive to what I wanted to do. So it was just a better way for me to get training. And that was 40 years ago. That's how long I've been doing it.
Awesome. And for the people who are not familiar with what B members are, what A members are, tell us a little bit more about that.
Over 40 years ago, the B members outnumbered the A members. So A members are basically construction, electrical construction. B members are manufacturing.
Gotcha.
So B manufacturing, you're actually hired by a company and represented by the IBEW, where the A members, you're full on. You're under a contract. Your benefits are negotiated through that part of the IBEW.
Gotcha. So I know that you have, you know, been in the industry for a while. I know that you, you know, ran a service truck. You know, you've done the superintendent thing. Also know that you are obviously very involved in our association and just the different committees. But tell me about how you got on board with teaching at the JTC.
When I turned out, I actually was asked to be an instructor, and I turned it down. I felt like I needed a little more field experience so I could relate better with the apprentices. Then several years later, the program that we have for recruiting, organizing people, was always there, but it got refined, and it was coming down from the international. Atlanta was kind of in dire need for people, so it was kind of a pretty big deal. So I got asked again to start training at the training facility. So I took it on, and I basically was the first class of those type people. They used to just be mixed in with the apprentices. This was a first independent class. I did that for about 6 months, and then I was asked to do the NTI, the National Training Institute, which is a great program. Mm-hmm. And then I got to go to apprenticeship. So I started teaching apprentices. I did that for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And then we had to go to day school because the school was outgrowing itself. We didn't have enough room. So we went to day school. And since I was working full time, I moved back to the CECW program. And so I've been doing that a long time. And I did motor controls at first, and now I do an electrical code.
Very cool. I know that you don't only do those things. I know we are going to start offering foreman training. Tell the guys in the field, people listening on the podcast, what would be the benefit of sending their people in the field to foreman training, or maybe why foremen who might be listening would want to come to our foreman training?
Okay, that's something that's dear to my heart. Because of what I've done here, you get exposed to different things. And so there's a great program that 7th District put together for foreman development. It's a pretty long series, but it's very well put together. It has a lot of industry stats that it's more than just going to a foreman's class at maybe your company and going, our company does this, our company does that. This is industry. This is how we feel like a foreman should do his job and the general foreman. And like I said, there's a lot of industry information in it. So I went out there and did the train-the-trainer. That way I get all the material. And I taught the class here at ACO. This is what the industry is like.
Yeah, and you know, just being part of some of those continuing ed classes myself, you know, and other organizations, the relationships built in those classes and that community, you don't really feel as siloed because you have somebody who comes across the same, you know, scenarios that you do. I know a lot of times just the benefit is not even necessarily sometimes the curriculum that's taught, but it is just that sharing of best practices and the relationship building that you get way more out of sometimes than what the class is actually teaching you.
Absolutely. I mean, in a company, it's the interaction between everybody at the company. Once we do it at ACA, now you have the interaction of several companies and several foremen and several general foremen. So the information just builds from there.
For sure. No, I love that. I know we're going to talk about, you know, brief history of, you know, our association and then go into a little bit about how and maybe why the JATC was formed and just taking a look back and then seeing where we are now. You know, I've been around the industry for about 6 or 7 years, but I've only been at AECA for about 18 months. Previous to coming, you know, to this career, I knew of AECA as the electrical guys. Like, you know, not only was AECA pushing the innovation and just heavy on recruiting from the schools, really positioning themselves as the experts there, but I also know that just with that community aspect, our association, and we are all in this together. And I think that's the one thing that I have always seen from AECA. So tell me, what do you think about, since you've been in the industry, how has the industry changed in the last 10 years, you think? Ballpark 10 years.
Well, in the last 10 years, technology has become so important to what we do. And it's scary for some people that are old like myself, but it has also brought so many things better. And our industry now has so many broader areas of work where you don't have to just move up by being a foreman, a general foreman. Now you can be a BIM guy, you can model jobs, you can be a QAQC person, you can be a safety person. I just think our industry's just grown in the last 10 years tremendously. So the opportunity for growth is just unbelievable.
It is. You know, I talk to students and parents all the time just about being able to just think about the skills or the talents that they currently have and just being able to cultivate those. You have a place in construction, whether it's even some of the stuff that I do with like social media and graphic design. There is a huge need in construction for people of all talents, and it's cool. Obviously, I love construction and I wouldn't want to be any other place just because there are so many options out there and you don't have to just choose one lane, which is really cool. Talking about, you know, our history, our chapter got started in 1929. Founding members, some of them are still around, Cleveland, Eckhart, White Electric, Dixie Electric, those guys are still around. And I know, you know, as a native Atlantan, being able to see those pictures of Atlanta being built, and then that's our guys, that's our companies, that's our, you know, IBEW guys in the field who built these big, you know, landmarks in Atlanta. Tell me about your favorite project that you ever built that you're most proud of to either drive by, or if it's no longer there, that was your favorite.
Well, the one I'm most proud of was the last one, and that was F Concourse, the International Terminal.
Very cool.
It was a joint venture. At the time, it was a very, very large job. So I'm very proud of that. Every time you go to the airport, I can see it. Probably the second one is I did the High Museum.
That's
big
cool.
Expansion on the High Museum Art. You know, in between there, there's a lot of data centers and stuff, but they're not much to look at, but they're very interesting to do. But yeah, those are definitely my two landmarks.
And do you think that it's probably a little bit of both, but do you think that the pride from those comes from the complexity of the work, or was it, or do you feel like it was within the time constraints and, you know, crazy things that happen on job sites, you guys were able to pull it off? What was it that made those your favorites, or, you know, the things that stand out to you?
As far as F Concourse, it a lot of things. You're dealing with the airport authority, all the aviation rules, you're trying to put all that together. You're trying to do the drawings. It wasn't just one building. It was a building, a tunnel. You know, it was just massive amounts of things to do that just made it interesting to try to make it all work together.
Yeah.
I mean, you were dealing with Bombardier for the trains. You're dealing with Delta.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be their gates. And
that's right.
So there was a lot of things that had to work together. That's why it's so interesting for me.
Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of the thing that, you know, when we're talking to people who are not in our industry, parents, even, you know, on the Department of Education level, there is a stigma in the skilled trades that, you know, we are uneducated. You know, these are the bad kids that are coming out of high school. But the reality is, number one, there is such high integrity in the trades. The discipline of picking up a skilled trade is huge. It's not for dummies, as they say. You know, you really do have to, there are a lot of moving parts. It is a highly technical field, and especially for, you know, electrical work, safety is number one in our industry.
Right.
I don't think that people take into account that you're not just going to be pulling wire. Sometimes you are, but there are so many other parts and pieces that are happening on the job site, and especially a job that the scope of work has a huge variety. You really, it does take a lot of brain power. It's a lot of technical and hands-on skills and knowledge. And
yeah, I don't think I sum it up to be, do you want a job or do you want a career?
For sure.
We have a job that's available.
Right.
But there's also a career that can go along with it.
Right.
And it's your choice, and you have all those opportunities to grow to whatever you desire. For a person myself to watch the technology come in, that was a big learning curve for me.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what I'm saying. You're not just learning one thing, you're constantly learning.
Right.
And to me, I don't understand why people don't see this as like I do. It is such a big career, and there's so many opportunities.
It is. It's the one thing that I was so shocked at whenever I first got into construction was just possibilities that you have for yourself in construction. I tell students all the time, just because you've been an electrician for, you know, let's just say 3 years, and you want to pick up another trade, you're easily able to move from trade to trade, or you're able to build on these things. There's always something new to learn, and it's cool, you know, and that's kind of the beauty of, you know, our program with the JATC. It's that tuition-free option. You have the opportunity to start your career off and really make what you want out of it.
Yeah, there's not only the JATC, Atlanta Electrical Contractors, there's just a lot of training that is available.
Totally.
When you compare it to what it costs to get training, it's actually very inexpensive, if not any at all.
Right.
So that, to me, it's a great industry to be in because you do have those opportunities. You just got to take them.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, I think it's the awareness. I mm-hmm. grew up here. Didn't even know that our apprenticeship program started in 1942 here. I had no idea. And, you know, when I came into the industry and then I learned that not only was there this high caliber training, but our contractors pay for it. That is huge. And I talked to a parent last year who literally asked me, like, what was the catch? And I was like, hard work. Hard work comes before success.
Right.
So that's what we're asking, for you to show up and be there. Be willing and open to learn, because there's so many opportunities like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going to college is something that it doesn't necessarily have to work for everyone. And we offer not only the training, but a job at the same time. So
yeah.
you can learn and grow. at the same time. So it's a very, very unique way to get your training.
And, you know, and that's the other part of being part of the association and, you know, obviously being part of the IBEW is that community aspect. You know, a lot of times if you don't go to college, people are saying that you're missing out on that college experience. Mm-hmm. Boil college and college experience down, you know, what is it? It's that community aspect.
Right.
Having that people that are with you, that stay with you every step of the way. And that apprenticeship program, and then, you know, on the contractor side, the association, that's what we all do.
Oh, yeah.
It's the sharing of ideas and having all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I still stay in touch with a lot of the guys I went through apprenticeship with.
Yes.
So we still talk. Like I said, the IBEW, that's a great place to, I mean, there's a meeting once a month. You can go and you can interact with people. They do a lot of community things. There's this whole industry has got a lot of good as far as interaction.
Agreed. One thing that I've learned from being in construction, it's a huge industry, but it's also very small. That can be good or bad, depending on which way you take that. But I like that aspect. Mm-hmm. I like that I can pick up the phone and call you. I can call, you know, some of my previous employers and contractors that I know, see them at the grocery store, and it really is, it's a cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
Kind of, let's talk about the association for a second, because I know that, you know, a lot of people, especially our employees, you know, who work in the field, even those who work in the office, there are a lot of trade associations out there. I've worked for them. And truly, before I was in, you know, any of the industries, I never even knew what an association was. You know, since you've been in the industry and now since you've had a lot more interaction with, you know, our association, what have you learned about AECA, and then what would be one of the things that you would kind of want to let our folks in the field know?
First of all, it's not, the association's open to more than just the contractors.
Right.
I think people look at it like, well, the IBEW is mine, the AEC is
right.
Some as the contractors. It's not really that way. There's training, there's committees to be on,
mm-hmm.
and so to me, it's also a good place to get information even an employer or employee. It's a good place to be a part of. You don't have to shame it away. It's open to everyone.
Well, that's certainly what we try to promote. Is it's not just our folks in the office that we represent. We do represent our contractors. We want to have more opportunities together, because I think that being able to draw on everybody's collective best practices is important. You're part of PMP, and I know for me, being part of different committees, it is very, very important for us to hear what the field is saying, and vice versa. It really is. That's how we get better. I know we've got a lot of things coming down the pike as far as goals and direction for where we want to take training and labor management and governmental affairs. Like, it's important to kind of get the full picture of our industry. I know as the association, like, that's a big reason why I love being, you know, working here, is just being able to have that variety of things to be involved in.
Yeah, I think the PMP was kind of where I got started. I certainly took some training courses up here, but the PMP was something that really I just sat in on.
Right.
I started off just sitting on it. And you got to get involved. And I don't care if you come to one meeting a year. It's involvement to hear that we're all in this together. We're all trying to come up. And the PMP meeting is a great way for the field to interact with AECA. You know, it just is. They're listening. They listen to our group. And our group is made up of people in the field, supervisors,
mm-hmm.
So it is union supervisors and whatever that are, we're interested in making the best for everybody. That's why I think it's so important. So if you want to talk down about something, don't do that until you get involved. And
right.
And it's such a good place to get involved in.
I think so. And you know, from working here, I already knew that our contractors were great just from knowing you guys, you know, in other parts of, you know, industry that I've been involved in. But really, our strength as an association is our contractors. In my opinion, I think that we have the best contractors. It is no shade on any of the open shop contractors. I just prefer our guys. Know that our employees love working for our contractors. Mm-hmm. We get great projects. But the cool thing, you know, about the association is not just the field level issues. We do a lot for in governmental affairs, things that affect us not only as the state of Georgia, you know, and working in the state of Georgia, living here, but also what industry is dealing with politically, you know, places where, you know, we can influence legislation for something as simple as codes and structures like that, but also in workforce development. We've been able to advocate for getting more money allocated for funding for students to go into construction programs at the middle school and high school level.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing. And, you know, I don't think that people always understand the full breadth of what we do just because everybody feels a little siloed sometimes.
Well, I want to talk a little more about the PMP is that, you know, here's the other thing that's available at ACA, knowledge.
Yes.
There is lots of knowledge, and there's a lot of past history on contracts and all these things. And this is what comes out. And as a supervisor or a general superintendent or down lower, the knowledge that you can get from this place is pretty amazing. Sure. The IBW has a lot of knowledge also.
Totally.
The JATC has a lot of knowledge, but so does ACA. And that's where I've learned as much as I have about the contract.
It's fascinating to me because I was open shop. And so just understanding even just the concept of the contracts, legitimately that history, you know, the history in our association, being part of some of our committees and just hearing all of that knowledge and stories, knowledge just being passed down to incoming people, it is really, really interesting. And it's something that I think sometimes gets lost, you know, as we are, I feel like all of our technology and everything speeds everything up, right?
Right.
But that industry knowledge is so important, especially when it comes to the contracts and best practices.
Well, it's really easy to have a thought about someone or somebody's beliefs and everything, but unless you get involved and you start hearing both sides of the story, it's so much more interesting when you hear both sides. It's just so much more, and now you have a more rounded feeling of what's really going on and why it happens that way.
Right. And even contractor to contractor, there's a ton of work here in Atlanta. I feel like one of our strengths is that all of our contractors work well together. You know, AECA is a great place for a meeting of the minds for that. I know a lot of our contractors, yeah, they're competitors, but they all go to dinner or breakfast or, you know, pick up the phone and call each other. And that is rare to find. I think that for some of our contractors who are new to the association or aren't as involved as maybe they would like to be, or maybe don't sometimes even see the value, putting into the association is what you make of it. So if you're involved, if you even, like you said, if you come to one meeting a year, just having those relationships, that face-to-face interaction is really important, and you might learn something.
Yeah, I think, like I said, for my involvement was just coming and observing.
Mm-hmm.
As it went on, and I started speaking more and started talking more and getting more involved, now next thing you know, you're talking to another company about something and then another company. And suddenly, as long the idea is let's all come together.
Right.
And this is what this really means. Let's do it this way.
That's right.
And it's not that we're telling somebody how to do it. We're all coming together saying, let's try to do this so it's consistent.
Well, that was the thing. So since I've been here and just learning about, you know, the history of, you know, the association and really how it was formed, I did a deep dive, you know, because obviously, you know, we know about, you know, the modernization of electricity, right? And how the unions were already working. And really, NECA formed because of the issues that contractors were facing. And it wasn't just with the union. It was literally everything else around them. You've got all these new things in that industrialization era that were happening. That's why NECA was there, started, just to have that community aspect of like, hey, are you running across this? You know, have you seen this? How are you handling X, Y, Z? And I think that we still have that. And I think that, again, you know, being part of an association, we want to hear from all of our contractors, because everything from, you know, our big guys all the way down to our small shops, everybody's voice is important, because everybody deals with similar or maybe even, you know, just gaining some knowledge from something that you don't deal with every day. Yeah. I think it's important to lift all of those voices up.
I agree. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're a small contractor or a large contractor. Putting your 2 cents worth in is worth it. It's worth
for
every
sure.
minute of it. I think people sometimes also overlook the fact that you're going out of town. You're going somewhere else. NECA, IBW, they have such great people.
Yes.
That it is just a wealth of information, even outside of our area.
Totally. And, you know, and not for nothing, you know, people come and ask our people in Atlanta to go and speak at other chapters, speak at other, you know, at NTI. You know, mm-hmm. we have a great footprint here in Atlanta that other chapters, other contractors are looking to mimic, which is really cool. Yeah. And then I know for me, I'm always trying to see what other chapters are doing, see what other contractors are doing that is, you know, number one, cool and exciting, but also history. That is always so impressive to me, is just like you said, you know, the industry knowledge, but it's important for us to keep telling those stories. I really, really do think that's the important thing. And that's why, you know, we kind of started this podcast, right?
That's correct.
We talked about this time last year.
That's
like,
right,
hey,
we
wouldn't
did.
It be great if we started a podcast where we could highlight the industry knowledge and break down those stigmas?
We want people to be involved with all of it.
Yes.
And this is a great place to get involved also.
For sure. Do you have any questions for me?
From your perspective, why is it so important for contractors to be part of this, part of ACA?
I think that selfishly, I'm going to always plug workforce development, right? You know that I'm always out in the schools talking to anybody who will give me audience, right? I think what I would like to kind of foster is the involvement, not just because we do labor negotiations and we have health and welfare, those things. I really want to have AECA be really that standout community for our contractors who are recruiting for all levels. I love, we've got contractors that come out with me to the schools. That's so important. I think that as we're moving into this time, which we've always needed the experienced electrician, but I think now more than ever, if we can really put our heads together, you know, with some solutions for getting more of our experienced folks into our industry, I think that that is a huge reason why someone should be part of the association, because you don't have to recreate the wheel.
Right.
We can put our genius together, and it's impressive. You know, we have some great high school initiatives, and I love being able to say, hey, 5 of our contractors showed up to expose students to the industry. That is really impressive. I think all of the work that Chuck Little did, and then being able to build on that, again, you know, we're only as strong as our contractors showing up. That would be my plea to everybody who might be thinking about involved in the association.
Very good.
Cool. All right. Well, we will wrap it up, and I appreciate you being on.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thanks. Hey, thank you so much for listening in today. We are so excited to finally get this podcast off and running here. For more exciting content, we would love for you guys to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just find us at Atlanta Electrical Contractors Association or AECA_careers. Thank you guys. We will see you next month.